Blog Talk Radio.
Don't just dream about it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين
الحمد لله رب العالمين that is praise be to Allah the Lord of all systems of knowledge. You're on a conversation with a purpose. My name is Khalid Abdullah Islam, and our host is Haleem Qaddous. And tonight, I think we have a pretty good program where we're going to concentrate on basically three areas of focus. Our featured guest is Bilal Stroud out of Atlanta. He's the facilitator of Muslim Men Against Domestic Violence. So we're going to talk about family. We're going to look at the wild side of society for a minute and see some solutions that is something that we can support. And we're going to look at the community. Hopefully my brother Tahir Salam will call in and we'll talk about the history of our community a little bit. And we're going to talk a little bit about economic and business with our host, Haleem Qaddous, too. So inshallah, we scheduled about 2 hours of programming. And we'll try to discipline ourselves to keep a straight focus on those things. And those are a few major areas, but there's other things we want to talk about too. But right now, let me bring in Haleem. Assalamu alaikum, Haleem.
Wa alaikum assalam. How you doing, my brother?
I'm hanging there. I'm all fired up, and alhamdulillah. And how you doing?
I'm doing great. All praise be to Allah. I'm doing great. Feeling wonderful today. And I'm fired up, too, and ready to go.
All right. Well, let's go. Our brother Bilal. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. It's so wonderful to have you. We had scheduled a few shows ago, and due to some technical difficulties, mainly my fumbling, we couldn't get you on that particular time. But I'm so happy that we can recalibrate and get you on today so we can talk about some very, very, very important issues. But before we get to that, let me share with the audience some upcoming events that are happening. We want to remind you, and if you're in a particular area, to see if you can attend or in some way support it and help out. As you know, last week there was a great Mali Toronto conference, so I'm getting a whole lot of positive feedback about that. And also in Philadelphia, there was the 19th annual Islamic Heritage Festival and Parade, and that's my hometown of Philadelphia, so I've heard some fantastic things that happened down there. That's last week. But coming up on June 17th, that's just 2 days away, we're going to have the 50th year anniversary of Master Muhammad of Washington, D.C. That seems like a pretty good, that don't seem like it. It is a great event. 50 years of the first masjid that was built from the ground up in these United States. There's this celebration, and it's happening starting this Friday, and it's going to go through Sunday. And on the 25th, it's going to be an evening with Sister Khadija Sadiq Muhammad out in Indianapolis. And I heard that there's a time change on that from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Then we have the Community Life Forward Conference. That's in the Browse area in Atlanta. The Community Life Forward Conference starting July the 1st. And going back up to Philadelphia on July 10th, there'll be it's a luncheon that's called Making Better Choices Luncheon. The Making Better Choices Luncheon is sponsored by our sister, a long-time member of our community, Sister Adina Carter Shabazz, and Sister Khadijah is going to attend it. She's one of the featured guests there. And all of these events, you can find out more about it at www.wewarewithimam.name.com. It's listed, phone numbers, contact numbers, and addresses, and you can find out all about what I said about these four events at wewarewithimam.name.com, which brings you a conversation with a purpose on Station IWDM. So that's it for that, and we're going to talk about Brother Bilal now. And I want everybody to get your paper and pens because we're going to get you want to give some more information too that you can write down and look forward to. So Brother Bilal Stroud, how's my brother?
Yes. I'm doing fine, brother. All praise are due to Allah. I thank you for allowing me to come with you on your program tonight. All praise are due to Allah. Thank you for allowing me to come forward and to express to you the sheer magnitude of what we're dealing with here in our community with regards to domestic violence. And it's a very serious topic, and I'm glad to be here today.
It's our honor. And I just happened to be browsing the internet, and in my hometown of Philadelphia, it was a report about family shelters, of how it's just the beginning of the summer, and that the shelters are already full. And it's just amazing. They weren't ready to. You're talking about the sheer magnitude. I know you're on the front row of this, but it just shocked me to read that particular report. Of the city of Philadelphia having 435 family shelters, and they all filled up with the homeless.
Brother. Yes, this is a very serious situation. Muslim Men Against Domestic Violence here in Atlanta is working very hard to get the word out that these sisters. These are our mothers and our daughters and our aunts and grandmothers and our nieces, and these are people that we are obligated to secure and to protect and to provide for. And as men, it's time to what I call man up now. You know, it's time for us to man up and not to put our heads in the sand and to carry on as if, business as usual. We have some very serious issues here in Atlanta, and what's going on here in Atlanta is only a microcosm of the general American society and really around the world that women in general usually get the short end of the stick. And so that's why Muslim Men Against Domestic Violence was formed here in Atlanta to really offer a voice and for Muslim men to take the point and to really be on the front lines as we are. We're men. We're supposed to be the moral compasses here in America, and we should set the tone for all morality. And that's what we're trying to do.
Tell us a little bit of history about Muslim Men Against Domestic Violence.
Muslim Men Against Domestic Violence is an initiative of the Beit al-Salam Network here in Atlanta. Beit al-Salam is an organization that assists with Muslim women who are abused and neglected and homeless. And Muslim Men Against Domestic Violence sprang out of that. And recently, early this year, I was asked to be the new facilitator for the organization. Sister Hadia Majid, who is, mashallah, one of the big warriors here in Atlanta, who's been advocating on behalf of Muslim women and children for a number of years. Her and I met. I called her and I told her, what could I do to assist our sisters. She was happy to hear that, and we worked together, and she asked me to be the new facilitator. And Muslim Men Against Domestic Violence has been formed now for, just over 2 years. And we're just trying to get the word out, inshallah. Yes.
Now, do you deal with offenders or people brothers incarcerated because of hitting on abusing sisters at all? You can't.
Well, actually, we have a teleconference coming up tomorrow. We have an online lecture that I'll be giving tomorrow entitled Stop the Abuse Now. And I'll be giving a lecture about the Islamic response to domestic violence. And then we'll follow that up with a question and answer period. Probably we continue that on Sunday, but it's scheduled for tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And but to answer to your question, yes, we do have brothers who've been in trouble with the law, who have been involved in abusing their families. And what's so shocking to some people to know is that not only do we have brothers abusing their wives, but we have sisters who also abuse their husbands. And we have children who abuse their parents. Some parents are so afraid of their own children. We do see that now. So Muslim Against Domestic Violence is against all types of domestic violence, whether it be physical, sexual, verbal, whether it be man on his wife or wife on her husband or family members on children and the like, all types, shapes and sizes, we oppose to all of that. And we're trying to get the word out, like I said before, and to be the torchbearer that Allah has called us to do.
I sound like my brother. Do you, with a program like that, I guess you do teach or educate people as to domestic violence, and you know, because I've heard that like with child abusers, so most child abusers will probably abuse children themselves. Do you find the same thing true in a lot of cases with domestic violence? Is it something that you find that people see or have experienced within their lifetime, so they kind of repeat that action?
Yes, you definitely see a pattern of that, yes. Sometimes people who are abused, whether it be sexually, physically, verbally, unless there is a life-altering situation that they've gone through, some sort of life-changing event or some sort, you do see the same pattern. It tends to repeat itself over and over and over again. So in order for us to eradicate this problem, we must break the chain. And breaking the chain of that type of behavior lies in not only having, you know, being involved in anger management classes, but it also involves with us, if, you know, since we are Muslims, we have a beautiful example in the life of Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. We can definitely take a lot of notes from his life and how he dealt with anger and his behavior towards his family, and we can try to implement that in our very lives also.
Well, just a few weeks ago in Newark, three blocks away from Helene's business establishment, a young boy with another guy stole a car. And somehow they saw who they thought was the enemy in a restaurant. And this 19-year-old boy, and his name, first name was Rasul. I don't think it was him, but he's with this guy who took a gun and shot through the window of this restaurant and killed a off-duty policeman.
Wow.
And I don't know the follow-up story, but I knew this guy named Rasul. 19 years old. He was caught, and now he's facing the consequences of being in the wrong company. But what I'm aiming at is something's gone really wrong in the minds and hearts of people, family-wise. And it seems like it could be, in the songs that we hear on the radio. But I'd be reading a news story of people just going crazy and going bad, and just. Lose control of themselves, and they hurt the ones closest to them, children being killed, and sisters being killed. And like you said, the sisters, they got guns now, you know. They take it out and use it too. So it's just something really strange is happening Would you agree with that?
Yes, sir, brother. No doubt about it. And again, all praise are due to Allah. Thank you for having such a very poignant discussion tonight. There was a case here in Atlanta. I know a brother here in Atlanta. He is a Fulton County deputy sheriff. Okay? He told me that one day he got a call about a domestic violence call. And one of his supervisors realized that there were Muslims involved, so they called him out to handle the situation, because praise be to Allah, the brother's a good Muslim. So they called him. They said, go to so-and-so and handle that situation. Okay? When he got to the house, there was a sister there. Her arm had been broken. And so because of his investigation, he told me that the brother, Muslim brother, came home and he wanted his wife to make a certain meal for him. And she didn't make the meal that he wanted, or I believe maybe the meal wasn't hot enough or something along those lines. And he got so angry with her, he actually got a baseball bat and broke her arm for not making the food that he wanted. The brother got there and arrested the brother and took him to jail. I mean, this is just one story of the type of foolishness that we witness here in Atlanta, for example. But like I said, what goes on here in Atlanta happens around the nation. This is nothing new. But we have to speak out against it. Matter of fact, I was invited to give the khutbah in Birmingham, Alabama, a few weeks ago. And I spoke about the issue. Excuse me. I spoke about this issue of domestic violence there in the masjid.
You know, it's something, that incident that you were talking about in Newark.
Mm-hmm. Can you give any updates about that?
Yes. Well, from my understanding, that it was a woman, his baby's mother, that turned him in because the violence was pointed at her.
She was in the restaurant.
Yeah. They say the violence was pointed at her. Well, it was intended for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had an event happen this week, and it was either this week or the latter part of last week, in Hillside, New Jersey, which is one town away from me, where the guy came home. I guess he was out of work, and it's stressing, and he killed his wife, and he killed himself. And he left their two children in the house.
Wow. I remember.
You know, but like you said, you know, this strange, there's something strange with this, with the behavior of the people, and a lot of it, like you said, in the music, in the TV programs, in the movies that they watch. Like the imam said, words make people. If you want to change the people, you got to change the words that's going into their mind, because that's forming them.
No doubt about it. It's just astounding. And even, you know, we talk about when summer comes, how people dress. Well, really no dress, you know. You take all their clothes, sagging they call it, and it's just wow. I read a story today too. Right here in the islands. Right now, the last 3 weeks, there are two sisters, one 10 years old, the other one 9 years old. They were on their way to school, and they were at the bus stop. And that's the last time the guardian saw them. They never came back home for 3 weeks now. So we have the FBI on, they're scouring the island looking for these two beautiful, precious young girls. And, you know, everybody feels it, you know, in terms of dismissing it. Who would want to do something like that? You know, heard about this Dugard case, you know, where someone, this crazy nut, snatched the girl out of the bedroom, you know, and when she was like about 13 years old, kept her for about 8 years, and you know, was raping her repeatedly, and he had a wife, too, and it was, you know, just nuts, you know. So, but what I'm so happy about in having a brother Bilal on the program tonight is that we don't have to put up with it. We don't have to turn our head away from it. We can say, you know, we can join together and support efforts to correct the situation. And that'd be part of Dawah too, you know. You pointed out how Prophet Muhammad, you know, is our leader, is the best model of the show. I think Brother Bilal's calling on the other phone. Hold on one second, I'll be right back. I don't know, you know, but, all right, so look, I'm going to check the chat lines. Anybody who listen out there, you press number one on the phone, you have any comments or any questions, let us know. We'll open up to you. And let me tell you that on August, on June 23rd, that's next Thursday, we're going to start new programming every Thursday at 8 o'clock on station IWDM. We're going to have Thursdays with Iman Muhammad. And what that means is that we're going to be listening to a lecture just like back in the day when you used to listen to the radio programs of Iman. But we're going to have lectures, audio lectures of Iman Muhammad every Thursday on station IWDM. And on the 23rd, we're going to start out with this fantastic lecture. It's called A Well-Balanced Community. A Well-Balanced Community. So stay tuned for that. Schedule yourself for that. And you know, one of the ways I like to listen to Blog Talk Radio is through the computer. Instead of holding a phone to my head or putting the speakerphone. Or, you know, you can put the speakerphone on, too. But I like listening to my computer speakers. And so Thursday, 8 o'clock, A Well-Balanced Community with Iman Muhammad lighting us up. Elaine. Hold on, I think Elaine got kicked off for a minute. And Brother Bilal's back.
Yes, that's all I come.
Well, let us sign you back, brother.
Yes, sir, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. We got one caller on the phone, and let me just go to him, and I'll keep your phone line open, okay? No,
okay,
he's out.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Well, you're back. That particular phone call left. But, all right, we were looking at solutions, I think. When we left,
yeah.
At least I was, you know, I always think about solutions, but this humongous problem that we've seen just creeping up on us, you know? So
yes, sir.
Really, you know, crazy old stories about the man's inhumanity, man. So, you know, what's really surprising, like, for me personally, I don't know any Muslim who's involved in domestic violence at all. But I'm pretty sure they're out there, you know?
Oh, yes, sir. They're out there, and in many cases, they are around you, And you may not even realize it. You'd be surprised how many sisters, you may not see physical scars, but you don't see the mental scarring, or
right.
you may not see the results of sexual abuse or verbal abuse. There was if you go on YouTube and type in ABC News domestic violence, there was a story of an African-American woman. I believe she lived in Arizona, if I'm not mistaken. And for years, she was verbally assaulted by her own husband. And her husband was so angry and so poisonous to that particular marriage that he actually had his own son videotape sessions where he would physically and verbally abuse his wife. And it was all documented. And it's horrible. So a lot of people may have the impression that domestic violence only includes physical assault. And it may not be the case. Words hit as hard as fists. And unfortunately, you may not be able to see that physically, but mentally those scars may and probably will be there for some time, depending on the situation. So we have to be very, very careful. And so what we need to do is have conferences and seminars where we can have, you know, trained individuals to come in into the community, whether it be at the Islamic Center, the Masjid, or any community center, and really show brothers, especially brothers and sisters too, about ways to curb your anger through anger management, ways to, you know, conflict resolution, where conflict doesn't have to end in a fist. You know, it can, you know, end by, you know, sitting and talking to someone and really delve deeper into people's backgrounds of, you know, how they if you were to sit and talk to some of these brothers and sisters and ask them about their background, how they grew up, what was it like in their family, what was it like in their home, and a lot of times you will find that people were, you know, witnesses to domestic violence, whether it be the father abused the mother and this and that and so on, and they grew up seeing that. Or we have some cases where people were sexually abused as young children, and then they grew up, and then they tend to, some, not all, some tend to carry out the same behavior on their children or small children in their care. So until we address those root, you know, psychological reasons behind which people will result to violence, whether it be verbal, sexual, or physical, you know, this is going to continue on and on. And as I said before we had a slight technical difficulties, I was invited to give the chuppah, Juma chuppah in Birmingham, Alabama, and I addressed this issue. And I told the brothers and sisters that this is inconsistent with the deen of Islam. This is inconsistent with the way of our Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, and that we cannot turn a blind eye. We can no longer turn a blind eye. And I told the brothers and sisters that, you know, we have some brothers who, you know, make it a point that, you know, they may want to slap their wife, you know, to actually slap the sister in the face and for have you. Or a woman will strike her children in the face. And this is un-Islamic because the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, has forbade us to strike anyone in the face, even animals in the face. This is something that is un-Islamic that he told us not to do. So at the end of the khutbah, you know, it wasn't wildly received. the response was, you know, moderate. Brothers and sisters there weren't really used to hearing that. But I told them that this is a fitna. This is a chaos that's in the community. We must address it. And we can no longer afford to put our heads in the sand like an ostrich. But we have to face it head on, because you'd be surprised what's going on in Muslim homes when they're away from the masjid. You see this brother, He's praying, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, brother, blah, 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 blah. And then when he goes home, he's a terror inside the house. And his sister's being terrorized, you know. So we have to be serious about it.
No doubt about it, no doubt about it. Also, even on the national scale with the man's widow, Khadija, you know, I think a lot of people put their heads in the sand about that, even though it's been discussed, but too quietly about in terms of bringing about a resolution to what happened after the man Muhammad passed away and the I call it the great disrespect given to his widow, Khadija. You know, not too many people are willing to talk about it. And that's a form of domestic violence. That's a form of abuse. You know, to be kicked out of your house, locked out of your house, and say you can't be there, you know, and you know, your husband passed away, and then all of a sudden your life changed, you know, everything changed, you know.
Yes, brother, I, you know, I tend to agree with you. It's clear that the sister was married to the brother. We have evidence of that, and, you know, it's unfortunate. And I hope that the families can find some kind of resolution in that, and Allah knows best. So may Allah make it easy for all.
But what I'm saying is that just like this misbehavior that we see in our community, we have guidance in Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet on how to handle it. So we have to step up to the plate and handle it correctly. And just like the Prophet said, if you see evil, you stop it with your hands, your tongue, or your heart. You know? So definitely we can talk about it, you know. And,
that is, yes, you're very, very, very true. That's true.
Right. So you know, the only way to be a Muslim is to be a Muslim, you know, all the way. No, short stroking, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, brother, it's funny you should say that. I actually gave a chuppah a couple of weeks ago in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where I talked about what I call the wet noodle Muslim. Don't laugh, brother. I said a wet noodle Muslim. When you go to the store, when you go to the store and buy you a box of noodles, of spaghetti noodles, those noodles are strong and firm, and they're stiff. Okay,
right.
But when you take those noodles home and you put them under, you put them in boiling water under some heat, you know, those noodles become weak, limp, and soft. And unfortunately, we are surrounded by what I call wet noodle Muslims. These are the Muslims who's supposed to, their back's supposed to be straight. They're supposed to have a backbone, but when you're under some pressure, you tend to capitulate, and this is something that we cannot have. So it's time for the brothers to man up, because we are the leaders. Man up. Let's be forceful and now denouncing all types of domestic violence. If you know of a brother who's involved in domestic abuse, you really need to pull his coattail. If you have an ability, if you have some sort of if you have rapport with the brother, you need to talk to him if you can in private, you know, about this situation, and talk to him about it. Let him know that, you know, Akhi, brother, that's your wife, but that's my sister. I repeat, that's your wife, but that's my sister that you're doing this to, and I know what's going on. So, you know, as a community, I think even Hillary Clinton said it takes a village to raise a child. You know, that type of communal respect and cooperation is what's needed to stamp this out. So if we know of a situation that's going on, the brothers, specific and in general, the community must speak out against it and come against it. And if a brother is not willing to stop his foolishness, for example, but sister's not willing to stop her foolishness, because we do have, like, again, we do have sisters who are the perpetrators of domestic violence. We do have that. If they do not cease and desist what they're doing, then we need to cooperate and prosecute, if need be, these individuals and make sure that they are punished to the fullest extent of the law. That's the bottom line, period. So we don't need no more wet noodle Muslims. Be men. Let's stand up and do what you got to do. And as they say in the streets, handle your business. That's all we're trying to do, brother. That's what we're trying to do here.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and that's the way to go, too. I think in a civilized society, to take people to court, you know. And, but that's one way, but there's other ways in terms of dealing with it. Now, you had mentioned that there's an event tomorrow. Can you give us some numbers and some particulars about that? Where people
actually
can go?
Yes. Tomorrow, we have a I'll be doing a teleconference call. Tomorrow from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Let me pull up here. Say it again, sir.
That's the East Coast Eastern time.
Yeah, Eastern time. That's correct. And what it's designed to do is I will be giving a short lecture via the internet about the domestic violence, the Islamic approach concerning it. Well, Allah and His Messenger has encouraged us to do, and if you give me a second, I'll give you a number we can call in. As a matter of fact, while we're doing that, let me give you a number where I can be reached, Muslim Men Against Domestic Violence here in Atlanta. While I'm pulling that information up for you, that's 678-735-2404. That's 678-735-2404. That's the number where I can be reached. Muslim Men Against Domestic Violence. That's what we're trying to do. And the call will be tomorrow. I'm trying to pull that number up here. Excuse me for not having that here. Give me a second. I'll pull that right up for you. But it's going out through Facebook. We have a page on Facebook, Muslim Men Against Domestic Violence. We're on Facebook, and you can go on Facebook and see our page, and we post things almost daily there. And if you give me a second before this segment is out, I have that number for you, inshallah.
Okay, no problem, no problem. Facebook is a wonderful communication tool. Matter of fact, yesterday I saw a post from you, Bilal, on Facebook.
Oh, did you?
And you're telling us.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Samira, do you call that picture?
What was that, brother? Say it again.
The picture of a sister taking a picture of herself.
Yes.
And she was wearing some really provocative clothes.
Yes, brother. It's true.
And you trying to counsel her to, you know, to dress up and, you know, respect herself, you know.
Yes, alhamdulillah. That particular sister, which I would not name her name, but she has done that before, and I've asked her to not do so. I've encouraged her to, you know, remember that Almighty God, Allah, has, you know, blessed a woman with a sense of beauty, and that she should respect herself. And she should cover herself and not to reveal herself to strange men or what have you, and that she should fear Allah and that she should not disrobe and show revealing pictures of herself. And this young lady, this is the second time I've mentioned that to her because she takes photos of herself and she sends it to people on Facebook. And unfortunately, one of the people that she sent a picture to is a friend on my page, unfortunately. And I asked him, I said, brother, please tell that sister to cease and desist this type of behavior because we have children on Facebook. That's one of the dangerous things about Facebook. Once it's out there, it's out there. So yeah. I haven't heard anything back from that sister, but hopefully she'll respond back to me and may Allah guide her. I mean, that's all I can do.
Yeah, that's all we can do. You know, well, you know, summertime. We not just summertime, but it's just a crazy dress. And they think it's so fine, you know. Feel so. That's the way they got to go in order to get somewhere. But we know better than that.
Yes, and matter of fact, that particular sister, And that particular sister says that she is a model. And I told her, I said, sister, please, you know, please respect yourself and don't do this. Allah has blessed you. And please remember that one day you have to stand before him and give an account for what you do. And I haven't heard anything back from her. Hopefully, may Allah guide her so she can cease and desist, inshallah.
Is she Muslim?
No, she's not a Muslim. She says she's a Christian. And she said that she's a model, she's a Christian. And so I sent her a message encouraging her to remember her Lord. Remember she will stand before her Lord one day. And that Allah has blessed the woman to be a beautiful creature. And the woman is, I tend to equate a woman with a diamond. You know, just like if you go into a museum and there's one of the world's largest diamonds on display, they wouldn't sit the diamond in the middle of the floor for anybody to see. It would be covered. It would be surrounded by security personnel. It would be covered by some sheet of some sort, so you wouldn't be able to gain access to it. And that's the purpose of the covering of the Muslim woman, so she can cover her beauty, and her beauty should be not only for herself, but for her husband and for maybe her immediate family, and not to be shown to the world like this. And I told her that if she, you know, she should be careful about putting herself out on Facebook for the whole world to see, and men will only treat you how you project yourself, and she should be very careful. So may Allah guide her, and I haven't heard anything back from her. I mentioned it to my wife, my other half of almost 18 years, all praise are due to Allah, and my wife was very concerned about that also.
Well, you know, it's a good thing that you know, it's a bad thing she put it on Facebook, and that she has that mentality. But then it's a good thing that, in a way, Allah directed her to you, so that you were able to give her what you was able to give her to think about.
You know what, brother? Someone did a lecture on the internet, talking about the problems with Facebook, and I think I may do the same thing, because now it's gotten to a point where we now found young Muslim men and women on Facebook doing things that are totally inappropriate. It is not becoming of a Muslim to do, and you know they're talking to strange men, you know, hooking up in different cities. This is something that's, it cannot be. We have to speak out against the evil, whether it be domestic violence or any type of societal or moral ills that we find ourselves involved in. We must speak out against it. This is what Allah wants us to do. And if we don't, I'm afraid that Allah will be displeased and even bring his punishment upon us. So if we're the Muslims, we're the leaders, we must be the moral compass. So may Allah make things easy, and I hope that sister will hear what I had to say, and I hope she read my comments on Facebook. It's amazing. You read it, brother, but that's amazing what you can put on Facebook. You know, anyone can read it, so it's amazing, mashallah.
But the idea that you had that you should speak on it, or you should address it, is very important, because a lot of times we see things and we just let them go. You know,
yeah.
I look at the incident, we had a brother on a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying that it was a fad with this sagging with the pants.
Mm.
You know, that the first person that was seen doing that, it should have been addressed right then.
Mm.
It should have been addressed how vulgar it is, so people can really look into themselves at what they're doing. Now it becomes a thing where people walk by it like it doesn't. It's normal. This is accepted.
You know
it's funny how things like that happen. Because let me just tell you this, because I heard on the news today, New York is close. It's very, very close in a vote to start accepting gay marriages.
Wow. Well, you know what, brother? Just like you said before, Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
It's just like the frog in the pot scenario. Okay, how do you cook a frog? You wouldn't take a frog out and put them in a pot of boiling water and cook it. What's going to happen? The frog is going to feel the pain of the heat and jump out, right or wrong.
That's right.
So what you do is you take a pot of water and make the water room temperature and submerge the frog in the pot and slowly turn up the heat, just slowly. That way the frog's temperature acclimates to the temperature of the water, and he thinks he's having a nice time. He's relaxing, but he doesn't know that he's being cooked from the inside out. Do you understand what I'm saying? So what happens is when we see these things happening in our communities and we don't do anything about it, what's actually happening is that we're being cooked from the inside out, cooked in a sinful lifestyle, an immoral lifestyle, till it comes that we become comfortable with what we see. And any Muslim who sees evil, whether it be domestic violence or any type of evil in the general society, and if you don't feel something about it, if you don't feel bad or have some sort of remorse, or you don't feel some sort of disdain for what you see, there's a problem there. That means you have been cooked from the inside.
And you're 100% right, because you're 100% right, because you know Shaitan said he was gonna make what's wrong seem right.
Oh, stop it, brother. Shaitan said he will make evil fair seeming to in your eyes. He will
That's
make
right.
good look
That's
evil
right.
and evil look good.
That's right.
So the producers who write these movies, who write all these different things, they inculcate all this type of immoral and decent behavior in the programming, whether it be on the videos, the movies, the music. It's bad, brother. And unfortunately, going back to domestic violence, this young man, Chris Brown, you know, he was, you know, convicted of domestic violence against this young
yes.
lady, Rihanna, right
yes.
or wrong?
Yes.
Right or wrong? Is
that
right?
And he beat her immersively. It was a shame the way he beat her. I mean, it was a shame what he did to that.
But what happened, brother? What happened to the situation? What happened? He was convicted. He was told to stay away from the sister. And what happened? Now he's doing music again. He's on the top charts. And the young people have forgotten all about it. You see? They've forgotten
well,
all about it.
Some of them imitate what it is he did. And because it was so easy for him to do it, and the punishment was so minute, and he was able to bounce back and make even more money. You know, that sends a very negative signal to the people.
No doubt. So it's as if we reward certain type of destructive behavior with our money, the young people. Now he's on, you know, he has like maybe two or three songs on the top 10 hip-hop charts. You know, the other day, my wife and I, you know, I was talking with her. I decided to read the lyrics of the top 3 songs on the hip-hop R&B charts. And I was flabbergasted. I was floored to hear and read the lyrics of what our young people are listening to. And unfortunately, some of this music, you know, introduces a certain type of misogynistic lifestyle. You know, it encourages the young men to be disrespectful to the women or what have you, and the women disrespect themselves. Matter of fact, one song, I kid you not, brother, and I'm not going to tell you the lyrics of the song, but if you go and do a Google search on a song called My Last, that's the name of the song. I'm not going to tell you the lyrics on the air. It's called My Last, and Chris Brown is actually on the song, and there's another young man, his name is Big Sean, I believe. In the song, he talks about literally how he's going to disrespect the sisters and what he's going to do with the women. So this is very bad. So I told the brothers and sisters at the masjid a few weeks ago, I said, we must develop a culture by which we respect and honor this woman and not allow her to be abused and neglected. And also, as I said before, we have some sisters do the exact same thing to their husbands and to their children. They are abusing their children. Yes, It's not just the brothers. We have sisters doing the exact same thing, and we have to stop it and speak out against it. So these type of venues that you're having today is badly, badly needed. All praises are due, and I thank you so much, brother, for having this. This is a very timely show. Thank you so much.
And you know what else, brother? Now that you speak on that, you know, I've seen incidents where a lot of times when there's a breakup in the home between the husband and the wife, or, you know, in that situation, and it's children left, sometimes the male, as far as well as the female, they go through an abusive type of relationship. You know, it's like some people try to get back at the male through the children. So because that's the son,
yes,
and you're going to be just like your daddy.
Stop it.
You know, I'm gonna interject this abuse on you. So it's really something that people need to be trained or educated, I should say, too, because we fall victim to these things because we don't know. Like I said earlier, Imam Muhammad, when he first started teaching, he said, "Words make people." These records that we listen to, they have a beat like the Pipe Piper that lures you in. And a lot of times they don't even think about the words or the message that's going into their mind. But at the same time, that message is creating a person in that body.
Oh, no doubt.
And a lot of people don't realize the subliminal event that's going on inside of them.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. Brother,
and how a monster is being created, and you don't even know it, and it's getting ready to explode. Like, I think you had gotten you off the air for a minute, but I was telling Khaled about this incident that just happened in Hillside, which is a city right next to Newark. And the man came home. He killed himself. He killed his wife. Killed himself. They had two young children. He left them in the house.
Wow.
Just left them there. The neighbors found them.
Wow. That's.
It's happening all over the country.
Not being able, probably not being able to cope with the things that's going on. You know, I really don't know what was on his mind, but I know that whatever it was tragic, and it was insanity.
Wow. Wow, that's brother. These are you know, situations that happen, you know, just happen over and over and over again. Matter of fact, I was watching America's Most Wanted. This is about maybe a month or two ago. Talked about an Egyptian brother. I believe he lived in Texas. He had two daughters. And one of his daughters, he felt, was being too loose with young men. I think she had a boyfriend or something along those lines. She was talking to boys or what have you. He got upset. And, of course, he didn't want that. So he asked her to stop talking to this boy. I don't believe anything sexual happened, to be honest with you. I don't think that happened. But the fact that she was on the phone talking to a young man, you know, made him disturbed and very angry. And she rebelled against him, and she continued to talk to the young man. Both his daughters were involved in doing some things that he didn't like. So he's a taxi cab driver. He actually... Say it again, brother.
His daughter was shopping in the mall, and he waited outside in his car. Is that the one?
No, I don't think so, brother.
Story.
Say it again, brother.
It's the same story in principle, whereas they cannot handle, they, meaning people from overseas, come here to America, and the cultural shock or the cultural differences of their children being brought up, they think they should be raised up like them.
I think in some cases you're correct, brother, because there is a cultural shift once you get here, and unfortunately that is the case. But what this particular story I was saying before is that this brother took his two daughters and put them in back of a taxi cab, drove to a secluded place, and shot both of them at point-blank range and killed both of them.
Wow.
Killed them both.
You thought you were doing an honorable thing, too.
And, brother, this thing is serious.
Some people are, though. And it's very serious.
This is serious, brother. And on top of that, let me give you another story. This happened in Chicago. I believe this happened in Chicago some years ago. There was a young lady, I believe her name is Shapara Saeed. Shapara Saeed. Both her and her husband from Pakistan, they were, you know, sincere, practicing Muslims by all indication. Something happened, had an altercation outside one day, and he's actually a taxi cab driver, too. He actually put his wife in the back of his cab, or she got in the back of the cab. I'm not sure how she got in, but either he put her there or she got in herself. This is a true story. This happened on August 24th, 2000, okay? He doused her with gasoline. He poured gasoline all over her body and set the car on fire, and the car exploded. This is a true story, August 24th, 2000. This happened in Chicago, if I'm not mistaken. Her name is Shapara Saeed, okay? Mm. And he was injured. He was burned on a portion of his body because the heat was so intense and the car exploded. He actually was injured in this incident, and she died in the car, screaming for her life.
Mm-hmm.
And he killed her.
Well,
what
you know,
in the world could your wife could have been doing for you to set her on fire and burn her alive in broad daylight?
You know, my brother, let me ask you, you know what the crazy part is, that a human being feels like he owns another human being.
Mm.
You don't own nobody.
No, sir.
You know, you don't, a man don't own no woman because he marries her. You don't own
right.
no children because they came through you.
Mm. Brother,
you know,
to be honest with you, I'm sorry, go ahead.
As a matter of fact, you don't even own yourself. That's a loan from Allah.
Brother, you don't own anything, not even a breath that comes in your lungs.
That's
Allah
right.
Allah owns every single atom in this universe. But your life and the breath and the air in your lung is a loan from Allah, isn't a trust from Allah. And Allah,
and you're
going to
be judged on how you use it.
Exactly. That sister is a manna, a trust from Allah to you. And for you to abuse it and misuse it is very disrespectful. Matter of fact, your health, your time, your mind, everything is a trust from Allah. And you will be questioned about how you treat those things that Allah has entrusted to your care. You're going to be trusted about that. And matter of fact, Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace be upon him, came and someone asked him, "O Messenger of Allah, you know, what are the rights that our wives have on us? What are the rights that she has on us?" He said, he replied, "Give them food, what you have for yourself, clothe them by which you clothe yourself, and do not beat them, and do not revile or hate them." This is very serious, brother. Then he also said, the Messenger of Allah, Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace be upon him, has told us, approach, meaning when he talked about your wives, he said, approach your wives when and how you will, give her food when you eat, clothe her when you clothe her, and do not strike her face, do not hate her in her face, and do not beat her. Now, if you claim you're a Muslim, you're supposed to obey Allah's messenger. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. And he also says, it is wrong for you to beat, it's wrong for a man to beat his wife like she's a slave and then goes and fulfills his rights with her in the nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear what I said? Let me say that again. He said, it is wrong, the meaning, it is wrong for you to beat your wife like a slave and didn't expect to have conjugal visits with her in the nighttime? Mm-hmm. Subhanallah. How could you do this out here? How could these are the real Muslim terrorists. The brothers who go home and abuse their wives. These are the real Muslim terrorists, brother.
That's
these women are suffering in silence. Now again, I'm not letting the sisters off the hook. We got some sisters do the exact same thing. They abuse their children verbally, physically, and even in some cases sexual abuse. We do have the exact same thing. But a lot of the problems that we have here in Atlanta, particularly when it comes to abuse, a lot of the times, half the times, what we deal with are brothers abandoning their wives. Okay, did you hear what I say? Abandoning their wives, meaning that he comes, he leaves for work, he doesn't come home ever again. He doesn't call, he doesn't say anything. He leaves his sister dangling with the bills, the children, the house note, and he is gone.
Wow.
These are over half of the cases that we see. It may not go to a physical abuse like we were talking about here, but a lot of the cases, half of the cases that we deal with involve brothers abandoning their families. Leave the sister out there. Just done. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being a Muslim woman, or any woman for that matter, no matter who she is? She has children, and her husband never comes home. He doesn't call. She filed a missing persons report. Nothing. And then when we finally catch up with the brother, we say, brother, what's the problem? Oh, brother, that's okay. I don't want to hurt anymore. I don't want anymore. What?
Well, brother, we have a problem in the Jersey area, and I'm sure it's other places too, where, and I'm going to use the term, and I know it's not correct, but I'm going to use it for lack of a better term right now, but we have these Muslim pimps.
Oh, stop it. Stop. Stop.
Get the sister
stop.
And put her on welfare.
Oh, brother.
And we'll live off of her.
Brother, now you've done it. Now you've done it because I've actually used that same term, Muslim pimp, about 8 years ago. Here in Atlanta, I gave a khutbah in Atlanta and told the brothers, stop pimping your wives. Be a man. Stop telling your wife to go downtown and lie to the people. Tell them, I don't know where my husband is, so you can get some assistance, public assistance, and lying to the government, having your wives go down there and lie so you can sit at home and talk about you want to establish Islam. Come on, brother.
Won't even give her your last name, because you know if you do that, she won't be able to get the check.
Brother, let me tell you something else. We have a brother here in Atlanta. I'm not going to say his name. He is wanted by the authorities for sexual abuse. He's been caught by the DeKalb County Police, and they are looking for him. See, you remember back in the day, some of you brothers, you may be around the same age, I don't know. But when I used to go to school, they give us a little juice box, a little milk, little container. And on the back, it had a picture of a missing child on the back. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
But what needs to happen is I'm in firm favor of a database being formed, and any Muslim that marries in this country, it needs to be some sort of database. Why do I say that? Because Abdul Malik Muhammad can get married in Philly, beat his wife like a slave, and then come down to Atlanta and say, my name is Jibril Abdurrahman, and start a process all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear what I said?
You're right.
So it needs to be some sort of database where when you get married, we enter your name and your photo in there, because Jibril Abdurrahman can be known as Saeed Abdul Latif in Madison, Wisconsin. And he's doing the exact same thing over and over and over again. And he's wanted for back child support, or he's wanted for spousal abuse. And unfortunately, the Walis, the brothers, the Wakils are not doing that job. They're not doing the background checking these brothers, and then they marry the sisters, and then they beat the sister like there's no tomorrow. I physically had to go to a sister's house and move her stuff out of her house because she was so afraid of her husband. He'd been beating her. I actually went over there in the middle of the night, me and I think one other brother, and we got that sister's stuff out of her house and moved her and got her children out of there.
Well, one thing about the Nation of Islam or the creed of Islam, that type of nonsense wasn't tolerated at all.
That's right. You had investigators that will come and investigate if it was a problem and spoke on. That's right.
Well,
and we do have a caller on the air, and I would like to hear from him at this particular time. And don't forget, Bilal, you got to give us those numbers for the teleconference, too.
Yes, brother. I'm working on it right now. Please, pardon me. I am so sorry. But you can contact me through Facebook. I give you my email address, and I give you a number where I can be contacted, and I give you all the information to you, inshallah. So go ahead.
All right. Well, on Facebook, we just look up for Bilal Stroud. Is that correct? Or the Muslim Men Against Domestic Violence.
That is correct, and I give my email address very soon, and I'm still trying to get a hold of those numbers now. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just want to make sure that you're on point here. So 862,
yes.
You get ready. Area code 862, get ready. You're going to be on a conversation in a minute. And I want to talk about Facebook for a second. You know, I think it's such a wonderful tool to share and be informed, you know, and we got to learn the technology to do so. And I know that Raouf Abdullah, he's our other host, there's some pictures that he put up about the Ali Khan Islamic Center. It's out in Maryland. They renovated, and it's just a beautiful sight to see. Just a lot of clutter and chaos at first, you know, but then the order comes around and the form and the structure and all that. And you just have a beautiful establishment to go to, and not only that, but to you know, the cooperation that it takes and the hard work. So the same principle here. We see a chaotic situation, a social situation. We're not going to tolerate it, you know. We're going to do something about it. God's help. So, excellent. So 862, get ready. You're coming on a conversation with purpose. And you hear 862, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Can I be heard?
You can be heard. Just tell us your name and where you're calling from, please.
This is Brother Rasul Amin, Independent Ministry, How to Put the Neighbor Back in the Hood. And I'm calling from East Orange, New Jersey. How's everyone?
Fine, brother. Assalamu
alaikum. Assalamu
alaikum, Rasul. Y'all covered so much. I was trying to listen on the laptop. It kept going in and out, so I wasn't sure with the conversation. I got on the phone. Y'all covered a lot of stuff. One of the first things I want to say, Imam Muhammad said the Muslim was a policeman. So that Muslim brother down in Atlanta on that sexual abuse charge with them children, y'all handle your business down there, brother. The police have to get to him. They don't have to get to him. We handle that.
Yes,
I think when I came in, y'all were talking about the youth a little bit or about the music and the language. I think I heard brother say, Imam said words make people, or man means mind, something to that effect. But, Imam Muhammad told us that we live in an abusive word environment, and that's one of the things that's taking place today out here with the youth. They're being bombarded with a language that's overtaking them, you know. Give you that example, that rapper Lil Wayne. He came out with that album. He sold 1 million copies in 1 week out of prison. I'm not a human being. That's a dangerous language to put out here to a people that's not thinking. Nike got a slogan, just do it. That's a dangerous language for people that's not thinking. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. See, those cliches need to be studied, you know, and a lot of the youth, they're not aware of it. And one of the main things is there's not enough brothers, you know, I'm 54 in our age bracket, that's, out here spending any time with them, you know. And we have to learn how to meet them where they're at. We got to come out of these houses of worship and get out here in the community too. The work is out there, and that's where they're at. One of the things we was doing was taking the brothers out off the streets, and I'm taking them out to the masjid, and a brother was giving them a talk on from the time we got off the slave ships up until today. You know, because a lot of them, they're not just ready for that straight Islamic language. But what happens is, it opens the door to them because we are Muslims, and then they start asking questions about that. So, you know, we have to learn how to strategize, too, to get to these young brothers and sisters and spend some time with them. You know, and they want to be heard, and they want to talk to somebody. But it's just that ain't nobody spending no time there. And if we just stay in these masjids, man, you know, it's not going to happen. A lot of them have never been in a masjid, church, or synagogue. Most of them today, they don't have any God conscious in them except for what they came out of their mother's wombs with. What happened with a lot of us, what saved us, and, you know, Allah made us Muslim, we were in the church when we was kids. Our parents and grandparents had in the church, and that established God conscious in us. So when we got ourselves together, those of us who went that other way, or some of us never went that way, but it was that God consciousness that our grandparents and parents established in us that brought us back when we did hear the call for Al-Islam. So, you know, I just wanted to, you know, touch on that. You know, Imam Muhammad said, you know, this is not a time for selfish expressions anymore. The world's too small for selfish expressions. I'm Muslim, I'm Christian, I'm Jew. You know, he said that we're true humans. So we got to make the connection of working together and getting actively involved, man. You know, everybody's, you know, sitting in these little halakha sessions up in these masjids trying to show who's the heaviest. And, man, our youth, brother, we losing them day by day. So I just wanted to speak on that a little bit, and I want to listen some more and, you know, see how the different topic goes. And if I can share some more, I'll come on in. So thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, thank you, brother.
Walaikum assalam.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, brother. May I say something, if I could,
yeah,
please? I, first of all, I have to leave, inshallah, in the next few moments. I would like to say something briefly here, if I could. I'd like to thank you for allowing me to spend time with you. It has been an utmost pleasure. Anything I can do to get the word out to our brothers and sisters about this very serious topic, I'm down like four flat tires, okay? I really appreciate it. But what the brother said was so beautiful about a Muslim is a police officer, and he's absolutely correct to be to have this type of knowledge, this type of understanding, and you see the type of evil that exists in our communities, and you don't say something about it or get involved or be actively involved. And what goes on, especially for our young people, is a crime. It's a crime. I mean, Allah doesn't put the light in your heart for you to keep it there. I mean, he wants you to give it, especially to the people who are most in need, who are the poor, who are the oppressed, who are the disenfranchised. And you are duty-bound to give this to the people if you have the ability to do so. Brother Khalid, if you allow me, let me give you the number to the conference call, if you allow me, please, sir. And I thank you so much for allowing me to come on your show today. Thank you so much. May I give that number out now, brother?
Please do.
The number, the conference number is 559-546-1000. That's 559-546-1000. You can enter the conference call by conference code 847-964 and the pound sign. That's 847-964 and the pound sign. You can also reach me through email. My email address is Bilal_happymuslim@yahoo.com. That's Bilal_happy, like happy and sad, happymuslim@yahoo.com, or you can reach me directly with Muslim Men Against Domestic Violence at 678 735 678-735-2404. That's 678-735-2404. Again, brothers, unfortunately, I have a previous engagement that I have to deal with. I'd like to thank you so much for allowing me to come on your show. It's very informative. Thank you so much. May Allah make things easy for both of you. I mean.
Thank you very much, my brother. We enjoyed having you as well. And you have to give Hadia a salams for us. Give her the greetings for me, Khalid. And inshallah, we'll have you back on the program again, you know?
Brother, if you invite me, I'm duty bound to come back. If you invite me, I'll be back at
you. You check us out on your Ming social network at www.realwithyourhand.ming.com too, and where you can play some great content and form your own group too, and share with us what you see and what direction we should go in terms of supporting and solving this problem that we have amongst us.
Thank you so much, Khalid, brothers. Thank you so much for everything. May Allah reward you, and you'll be in my du'as. And may Allah watch over both of you and all the brothers and sisters that are listening. May Allah protect all of you as I leave all of you in peace at this time. Assalamu alaikum. Please look me up on Facebook. You send me an email. Contact me. Contact me anytime, inshallah. May Allah make it easy for all of you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you so much, my brother.
Thank you.
All right. That's our brother, Bilal Stroud, out of Atlanta, the facilitator of Muslim Men Against Violence. And I hope you enjoyed and appreciate what he said this past hour and 16 minutes. So we're going to move on, and we're going to speak with our brother, Haleem Qudus, who is producing a fantastic book that's coming out July 20th. And the name of that book is called Economic Resurrection. And we know when we talk about money, we talk economics, and we talk about the problems we have in this economy now. But, you know, the money is not a means to an end. The money is used to make our life comfortable. And, and I want to talk about that spirit you're speaking about the aim of the book. One of the aims of the book is to have that can-do spirit, the attitude that you're just not going to take this type of nonsense. You know, we're here to live, there's a term in the Bible where it says, I came to give you life and give you life abundantly. You know, I remember the man was speaking about that. So we're supposed to have a good life, and we're supposed to have an exceedingly excellent life, you know. So these are the points in the book, and the book has a goal to it, not just to sell you books, but to give you pumped up emphasis, if you understand that word, but to get us to cooperate and build our community, build our society, based upon sound morals and based upon Allah's guidance. Dwayne, will you tell us more about it, please?
Yes, I will. I'll be glad to. Assalamu alaikum. You're right. The title of the book is Economic Resurrection. And, you know, it's a funny thing. I was on a plane with Imam W.D. Muhammad coming back from Turkey, and he told me that he was going to write three books. He was intending to write three books. And one of them, I remember Islam, the prayer in America, he was going to do that over again, the prayer book, Muslim prayer book. And also, he wanted to do a book on business. And he said it was going to be a little different from the business climate, Islamic climate for business. So, and he also, to my surprise, told me that he would like for me to write the introduction to the book. So I thought, you know, and thinking about that and using that as part of the inspiration for writing the book, we came up with the title, Economic Resurrection. And looking at the conditions, you know, that our people are in right now, or the world is in, you know, I decided to kind of deal with this subject because I look at economics, and, you know, economics simply is like broke down into three major portions, and one is production. You have to be producing something. And the second part is distribution. You have to be distributing what's being produced. And the third part is consumption. You have to consume it. And if all these things are working together, then your economy is thriving. But if it's a slowdown in anyone, or if anyone is moved, then the economy goes down. And that's one of the things that's happening with us today, because most of the production is being outsourced to other countries. And that's why we have the problem that we have in with jobs. So and thinking about that, and looking at that, and looking at us as a people, and the teachings that that many of us received going back to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, the program was based around doing for self and creating your own economics. You know, back then we had, the Muslims had, was very visible. We had a presence. We owned a lot of the businesses that was in our community. We had, and most of the businesses said, like your supermarket, or your Steak and Take, or your fruit and vegetable stand. Everything had emphasis on it belonging to you. And we've seemed to have gotten away from that now. When I go into some of these neighborhoods and I look and I see that everybody is serving us. All the businesses are mostly owned by other people besides us. So in this book, I try to expound on that and bring out the fact that we need to wake up. I have one chapter, Wake Up to Your True Self, where we need to wake up to who we are and start building and doing things for ourselves. You know, this time that we're living in, they call it recessionary time. And I remember watching a commercial on TV. I think it was Allstate, and it stated that when you look back on this time, will it be known as the time of the Great Depression, or the depression that made us great? And, you know, and in thinking about, as I pondered and thought about that, I thought about the fact that when times seem to be hard, a lot of innovation is done in those times, because people find ways to make money when they don't, when they lose their job or their circumstances change, and they come up with innovative ideas. So a lot of things is born out of that. So, you know, in economic resurrection, we're looking to show you some of that innovation. And I go through part of my life, and along with other people, that has beat the odds, so to speak, that fought with some of the challenges that we run into out here in the business world, and was able to come through it and have and establish some things. So I'm excited about the book. I'm really, really excited. I plan to have it out by the end of July. And I have about seven out of the 10 chapters that's completed now, and I'm now diligently working on the other three to get those completed.
Excellent. That'd be great. Now, you know, I was thinking of possibly, you know, we want people to have this book in their homes, in their hands, to read it, and there's going to be a plan to work together when you see the great potential that, or the great treasures and the opportunities that are right around us all the time, you know. And that's why I get in a lot of books I read, or like a brother's book, Success is Automatic. You know, we're made to be successful, and you know, there again, there's a lot of opportunities, but you have to connect with it. You know, so it's a way for us to connect. I'm talking about our community and like-minded people and people who want to have a great society and have a bill paid and, you know, money in your pocket and buy the things you want to buy. But more than anything else, in my particular view, is that we want to have money for our families. We want the children to be dressed properly, eat good food, nutritious food, and have business in our neighborhoods and all that. So that's the point. Now, the point I was trying to make is that I have in my possession a DVD of Imam Muhammad speaking in Philadelphia. It was his last talk in Philadelphia, the Juma at Master Law, on April 11th, 2008. I just thought about this morning is that as long as my supplies last, people who buy that particular book, they can get a free copy of that DVD as long as supplies last. The only thing you have to pay is for shipping for that. And I'm trying to, I'll be looking at the cost for that in terms of the packaging and the mailing cost coming from Saipan. So it should be about $5, you know, in addition to the price of the book, which is only $14.95. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. That's correct.
So that's just like in addition to having a book, is that you can hear Imam Muhammad in Philadelphia. So you know, put that you know, work that out and show out. We want people to spread the word about the book. Get ready for the July 20th launching of the book. And tell your friends about it, tell your family about it, and get ready to purchase, you know.
And, you know, Khalid, like you said, there's, you know, one of the things that we're trying to do with the proceeds from the book, we want to start a manufacturing plan. We need to start manufacturing some products. You know, we need to stop. We do a lot of talking, but we need to come together and make something happen. And the only way it's going to happen is if we come together and do it. And we got to we have to get in to what's going on in society, in the world. We have to be a part of it. You know, in these neighborhoods, we like the conversation we had earlier with the brother and policing the neighborhoods. We have to get involved in what's going on in our community. You can't just sit back and just say it's okay and just watch things or wait for things to happen. We have to be the ones to get out and make it happen.
And we can
do it. I mean, we have to look at, first of all, supporting each other or patronizing each other. You know, we spend our money everywhere else but amongst ourselves, and because of that, that's one of the reasons that we're in the shape that we're in. We have to come together and seriously look at what we can do to improve our situation economically. You know, a couple weeks ago they had the picture, the picture about Black Wall Street. And as the earlier speaker was on, he was the brother that was that just left the program. He was talking about slavery and teaching the young people about slavery. Well, if you don't know your history, then you're doomed to repeat it. You know, you need to know your history. And I was watching that picture on Wall Street where they had an economy, Black Wall Street, that was thriving. I mean, the Caucasian people were jealous of them and felt that should be them so bad until they wound up destroying that town. But it just showed what people can do back then if they came together and decided to control their own economy. And that's what we have to do. We have to look at what we can do to take control of our economy, and we can do it. We can do it. All we have to do is try to keep the money. The money goes out of our community. If it stays one time, it's a lot.
The shoe is out.
It's out. As soon as we get it, we're taking it somewhere else.
Remember, a lot of Asians are coming into our community and making money too. And there's one sandwich shop in Philadelphia, owned by a Korean, and they provide good services, great sandwiches, you know. But they decided to, I guess, go back to Korea. The thing that got me is that they sold their business, but they didn't sell it to anybody in the neighborhood. They sold it amongst themselves to another Korean, you know. So when I saw that, I said, "Whoa, what is that?" You know what I mean? So yeah,
They stick together. I seen an incident happen like that in Newark. It's a restaurant. It's a Lao Chinese restaurant. And I don't even know if the restaurant is Lao anymore, to be honest with you, because it changed hands two or three times. They kept the name, and they lived off the reputation of it when it was Lao, and it may still be, but I don't know for sure. I know it changed hands, and the people in there look just like the Chinese people that was in there before. So, you know, we don't know. I know one thing. They don't hire nobody from the neighborhood. The Dominicans that run most of the bodega stores, they have their businesses. They don't hire, I don't see no African-Americans in there working in none of these businesses.
I don't see it in
none of them.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Excuse me?
What do you mean by a bodega store?
A bodega, well, that's what they call it. It's a grocery store.
Okay.
It's like a corner grocery store where they sell groceries and mostly in this area in Newark, most of them are owned by the Dominican people from the Dominican Republic. Now, these used to be the African American corner stores, which in most cases in the cities that I've been in, they don't exist anymore.
Mm.
So everybody serves us, and we have to look at, you know, what's actually going on, and why are we in the condition that we're in, and why we are sitting back and just letting it happen and not doing anything about it.
Right.
Like the brother said, the caller that called in, you know, we have to come out of these masjids. We got to come out of these churches and these wherever the houses of worship that we find our little safe sanctuary in. And come out and wake the people up. Wake the people up. We got to get back to that do-for-self attitude instead of sitting back and waiting for everybody to serve us like we've made it.
Yeah. Well, thank God that the time of the repressiveness
like what happened to the brothers and sisters in Wall Street, where the white mob mentality, they just, took physical action against it. That time is out. So we don't have to fear that. But the opportunity to advance, the call for it, the need for it, the urgency for it is right now. And we call everybody who's listening on the phone, please join us at www.wearewiththeman.ning.com. The telephone number for if you want to get their book. You keep listening to the program. We will give all the information you want. But you can find information about what's happening with economic resurrection at that website. And every week, every Wednesday night, we're going to speak about economic resurrection. We're going to share with you plans to use proceeds for getting that manufacturing plant. I believe one of the first items is going to be like mattresses, as I understand it. And you see,
yes.
Tell us a little bit about the Muslim American Chamber of Commerce. How's that come along?
Well, we're working on a website now for that. I've met with, as a matter of fact, today I spoke to a gentleman that's in the insurance business, and he works with a lot of different religious organizations and he's going to get me rates. As a matter of fact, I have a meeting with him Tuesday to discuss group rates on, because I'm looking at trying to get an inexpensive health insurance and a life insurance. Now, because, you know, I've been to a lot of janazas lately, mm-hmm. and a few of them that I've been to, the people didn't have insurance, brothers and sisters didn't have insurance, so they had to take up a collection to bury them. And, you know, you can get a low, very low-cost policy for pennies a day that you at least will have the money so that that won't be a burden on somebody else, you know, to deal with, to see that you're put away properly. And a lot of times it becomes a burden, you know, on that family. So it's something that that all of us should have some form of. So we're looking into getting a policy so that the members can get on board and have health insurance and life insurance. And we also I met a couple weeks ago with a gentleman that has established a credit union. And something we would like to do sometime down the road, but until then, they're going to put a package together for us and do a presentation where they'll afford us different rights. They'll block off a part of their company for us that we'll be able to use and get some benefits as a group from the banking industry. So that's basically where we're at. We're still formulating that too, and putting that together, and soon we'll have a presentation that we'll make from the chamber.
Alhamdulillah, that's great. Yeah, it takes time to do things right, you know, and put things in the water. So it's a gradual thing, no doubt about it. You have to be patient, but we want to let you, the audience, know that it's a lot of hard work involved, and working hard and for me too, I remember CPC, you know. I remember, what was that other, you know, I started another business opportunity?
Yeah, Amcock.
Amcock, that's the word I was talking about. And how you talk about how Amcock got off the track, you know, from the get go. And, you know, we want to, it's lessons learned, that's what I'm trying to say. And, this is a great opportunity for us to get things to right, get it right in the way God wants us to do it. So don't be shy and don't be reluctant and don't, you know, be courageous and and step out with us on these ventures. We'll make it. So, I haven't forgot about Rafa at all. Rafa's going to, he's going to face the consequences of his actions. And I want to tell you something else. I'm switching topics right now. On Facebook, I came across a group, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was a bunch of young people in our community, and they're very much dissatisfied about the present-day leadership. And it seems like no imam is good enough for their eyes. But they've been around for quite a while, and God bless me to see that they were where we were going with what we were trying to do. And what they're trying to do undercover early was to promote Earl Abdul Malik as the next leader. And they finally came clean about it. And so they tried to promote Earl as the next leader. And I said, get out of here with that nonsense for me, And I don't know how some people feel about Blessed. That's what I say, because I know that Earl made some great big mistakes, and the ego. When somebody gets a position sometimes. Let me connect it to the story I just read about. I was reading about Sugar Ray Leonard, the boxer, of how he gained a lot of fame, and with that fame, he had beautiful women would just chase him all over the place. And he devised a system of how he could meet these women. All his partners were with him, in terms of him hooking up with women and they trying to get their share too. Well, Ray Leonard put out a book and he was talking about how he was just dismissing his duties as a father to the young boy he had at 17 years old and with a sister named Juanita. They were together, he finally married her, but he was still just cheating on left and right, And so some of these leaders in our community, they get a musician, and they do almost the same thing, whereas they just forget their real purpose of that position, and they think that they're a leader instead of a worker or servant for Allah and servant for the people, and I work with Earl. Philosophies of progress, and I saw all he wanted was the money, to support his lifestyle, and that's what he would do. That was just one thing, but it just cracked me up that if these people, promoting Earl as the next leader, think he's qualified. And I know he's not, So anyway, but enough of that. But I just want to say that we're not going to be okey-doked or fooled or see something that's wrong and not speak up against it. And just let things be as it is. But we're going to take positive action that God wants us to do, to work together, to produce, not be just consumers.
Yes, you're 100% right. And my feeling is that Imam Muhammad made leaders. He made us leaders. And we need to take the lead. I'm not looking for somebody to lead me.
There you go.
See, I'm just trying to see where the work is so I can go ahead and do my part of the work. And there's so much to be done until if we concentrate on working in our place and getting the work done, the rest of that is just distractions. It's just things that distract you and keep you divided in different things. What we have to do is we got to really start looking at what we can do to build community life. And then we have to put the people, if we're gonna have leaders, it has to be people that have a track record where they can be trusted. You
right.
know, and that's not gonna come in and feel like it's a dictatorship and they're there
mm-hmm.
for life and they pass it down to their kids like it's a royal family type of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
We have to we really have to look at that and we have to get away from that type of thinking. That's not what it's about. It's not about
mm-hmm.
that. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, you know, the Imam Muhammad brought us out of that, especially with
mm-hmm.
the royal family thing. He brought us
yeah.
out of that. He made leaders.
Yeah.
He wanted you to be independent thinkers. Use your own mind. God gave you talents and a mind just like he gave everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Stop putting yourself down and putting them above you.
Mm-hmm.
And let's come together and build a model community. We can do it. I mean, they did it in Black Wall Street,
mm-hmm.
Rosewood, you know,
mm-hmm.
just to name a few. In times that was terrible, like you said, they had the mob chasing them. We don't have that. Only thing that's holding us back is us. We're doing it to ourselves. Ain't nobody doing it now. You got all the opportunities here to accomplish what you will. You let your mind get trapped. You let yourself get trapped off.
Your own grace, I mean. No doubt about it.
Your own,
let me read
right.
it's a primer. We'll open it for your book. Economic Resurrection. The full title is How to Prosper in Good and Tough Times. Okay, Economic Resurrection is about a spirit that lies deep within all of us, a spirit that can move us to break through any limitations that holds us back from the abundant opportunities that are all around us. What is unfortunate is many people are not even aware of the power that is within them, and this is why they get stuck and cannot seem to find a way to move forward. The right spirit provides the stimulus to prosper in good and bad times. Tough economic times can actually help you to experience new levels of economic growth. Isn't finding creative solutions what challenges should help us to do? Let me read that again. Isn't finding creative solutions what challenges us? No, I'm sorry, I messed up. Isn't finding creative solutions what challenges should help us to do? That's a question. Once tapped into, this spirit can turn the ordinary into the extraordinary. This spirit will allow you to prosper and become a powerful force for change in every part of your life, at home, at work, in business, in school, and in your community. I'm like, those are so wonderful words, my brother. And, you know, this is not something you just talk about. This is something you live.
Yes.
Transportation, you know. So we got something
yes.
here. And people, I'm telling you, you know, just like the great opportunity CPC held, you know, people carried the ball, but they dropped it, you know. Well, this is another ball to carry. This is another move forward. But God willing, we pray that we won't drop it. We won't fail. We will succeed and reach that goal of economic resurrection.
Alhamdulillah.
So, okay, so now I want to say again, remind people, so if you can, you can call a teleconference with our brother Bilal. The number is 559-461-1000. The access code of 847-964. You hit the pound. And that's at 6 o'clock p.m. tomorrow Eastern Time. That's Muslim Men Against Domestic Violence. I remind you that every Thursday, starting not tomorrow, but the next Thursday, we're going to be featuring Imam Muhammad on Station IWDM.
with the, starting off the lecture called A Well-Balanced Community. That's something not to miss. A Well-Balanced Community. You're always welcome to join us. You're invited to join us. It's my personal invitation at www.wearewithyouman.ning.com. And to see what we got going on there, I think you'll like it very much. And I got to tell you about our sponsors. Our sponsors are our brother Mubashir Ukhta. You ever heard of Mubashir? He's a wonderful author. He writes articles in the Muslim Journal. He's a man of many, many talents, but he has a book out, a series of books that are called Applying the Teachings of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And the third book, he has two books so far. The third book, the fourth book, the fifth book is coming out pretty soon. And you can reach it at ukhta.com, www.uqdah.com. And we have our brother Imam Sadiq Jihad. He's a host on Block Talk Radio Station, IWDM, every Tuesday night at 7:30, bringing you the program. It's called Classical Arabic, the Language of Revelation. And he has a book that he sells. And that's like it's one of the best books on the market for learning the Quranic Arabic, and you can learn it on your own. Isn't that something? Well, of course you need help. So, and Imam Sadiq is there to help you. And you can find that particular book at SadiqJihad.com. SIDDEEQ, Jihad, JIHAD.com. Or Islam in View. And then you have our brother, Aline Kadus, with that wonderful company that sells furniture and home appliances. It's just a wonderful website. More stuff's coming all the time. Quality furniture at reasonable prices and rates. You tell when you go to the website or you call to order, you tell them Khalid sent you. You find it at usafurniture.us. That's usafurniture.us. And finally, coming to our brother Torrey Muhammad, the creative director of Uma Stream. Torrey's making some advancements where he's using technology of bringing internet and cable TV together. And on the internet now, you can go to umastream.com or you go to usworldtv.com too. And you see one wonderful, excellent prices work that Torrey Muhammad is doing there, usworldtv.com. And we're going to bring you some more sponsors pretty soon at the Muslim American Chamber of Commerce once the website is up. And some more good things coming down the road, or up the road, let's just say.
And if you happen to be in the Newark area, USA Appliances and Furniture, we have two stores in the Newark area where you can come into physical stores and buy furniture, new furniture and appliances. And one is at 406 Lyons Avenue in Newark, New Jersey. And the other one is at 396 Springfield Avenue in Newark, New Jersey. And they're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, from 10 to 8. So if you're in the area, please stop in.
Yes, sir. Now, Lyons spelled L-Y-O-N-S, Lyons Avenue?
Yes, it is, L-Y-O-N-S.
Okay, excellent. New Jersey, alhamdulillah. All right, brother. Well, look, we're going to be wrapping up the program. We've got about 5 minutes left to go. Is there anything on your mind you'd like to say, or you listen, if you hurry up, come on in, check in, press the number one on your phone. You know, we'll bring you in real fast. We only got 5 more minutes to go. All right. Next week, I don't have a featured guest. But we have something for you, so you know, check us out. And definitely we'll announce it before the program starts. And, Aline?
Yes, my brother.
I'm about to make an exit stage right, bro.
Okay, well, as always, it was a pleasure, interesting program, interesting topics, and I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too, you know, and we got to bring our brother Bilal back, and too bad I had a buddy, I don't know what happened to him, but we were going to talk a little bit about our experiences as college students at the University of Detroit. He was with the Nation of Islam, how he first heard the imam before he became the leader. I thought it would be an interesting time to be with our brother Tahid Salam. That has to be another time. So anyway, we're going to give our salams. May Allah bless each and every one of you mightily. May we always make progress. May we always purify our hearts, our intentions, our minds, our actions. Love one another. As you know, the prophet said that we all want to go to paradise, but it's a necessary condition to have paradise, necessary to have faith. And in order to have faith, you have to love one another. So let us, and I'm not talking about, I'm talking about real, true brotherhood love, sisterhood love. And I felt that with Brother Brown, by the way. So let us love one another, and let us treat each other right, and let us serve God the way we know we're supposed to serve him in the right way. So with that, my brothers and sisters, take care. We'll see you next week on Conversation with Pravis. And don't forget next Thursday, not this Thursday, but next Thursday, we'll start with lectures. We named W.D. Muhammad, starting out with the Well-Balanced Community every Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Put that on your calendar. All right, Lane, you take care. See you later.
All right, my brother, you do the same.
All right, my brother, you take care, too. Assalamu alaikum.
Wake up, Salam.